Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Malignant Humour. I'm your host, Vinny Eastwood, and we have a very special guest, Susie from the Occupy Auckland media team, joining us now via phone. Susie, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Vinny.
Now, I got a message from my mate, Rainbow Whitty. Can you explain a little bit about what's just happened down at Occupy?
Well, my understanding of that text message was just, to be honest, someone had freaked out a bit because their laptop was stolen and they had quite a bit of information on it. However, they've gone through the normal channels to report that and hopefully we'll get it back. As far as we're concerned, things have actually been more unified than ever. We've had the amazing founding of the Occupy Albert Park, which is our fourth simultaneous 24/7 occupation in Auckland, New Zealand. And to be honest, things have been really good.
Okay, so there's no emergency.
No, I think it was definitely an emergency for the person involved because that was a very important laptop to them. But I think the text message was just sent under the heat of the moment.
Yeah, okay. Well, I can understand that one. All right, in that case, whew, wipe the sweat off the brow. Now, speaking of which, you haven't actually received any opposition quite so much in terms of the other occupier movements in the world, have you? You know, no pepper spray, no tasers, or any of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, to the contrary, we've had police openly in support of us. We had a submission made by the New Zealand Police to the District Court, actually in support of our rights under the Bill of Rights to peacefully assemble and to peacefully protest. So, to be honest, the cops have been brilliant so far, and I can't really say enough for them.
Yeah, well, that's the good thing about the New Zealand police, isn't it? As long as they have a Masonic checker around their caps, it's all good. We have a problem in this country where there's a bad perception of police in general, but in my experiences, having been arrested twice and maybe having talked to cops just on a normal basis, probably maybe close to 100 times or so, I always generally found them to be quite reasonable and decent blokes. And can't find fault.
From my personal perspective, just in my own experiences, I think that there may be a big difference between the state of New Zealand police in, say, the 80s to the 90s to the 00s and to now, because I can see that there has been what I would consider to be some cultural shift within the police force to be a bit more community-minded and a bit more open and tolerant. For example, I was astounded, actually, that an inspector at Auckland Central Police actually allowed me to put him on record in an article about the New Zealand Police position on Occupy, and he actually allowed me to use his name and gave me direct quotes, and for me that's a sign of openness that I wouldn't even have expected from them. So to me, they really maybe are working towards safer communities together.
Yeah. It always seems to be an irony kind of thing because the I don't know, the thing about being a police officer is that you're basically a tool of the state to enforce whatever the state's will is, and it is usually when the police actually act to the contrary of the will of the state that you can really see the truth and the light and the goodness kind of flow out of them. And it's the same thing that's happened here. You know, the judiciary and particularly the what's it called, the Auckland City Council, have been quite nasty to the Occupy movement and wanted to send the people that are in Altair Square to jail and that kind of thing. And I noticed that when the Occupy movement was supposed to be evicted from Altair Square the day before, what was it, Christmas Eve, not one cop showed up to enforce that eviction notice.
Well, I think there may be a presumption from the council that because they may see themselves as the state. As you said, the police are to enforce the will of the state. But really, city council bylaws aren't the will of the state. That's the will of the council. And so the police may not feel, I can't speak for them, obviously, this is just my opinion, but they may feel that they're not actually security guards for the council, that they're not actually there to act on behalf of the council, that they are, as you say, to act on behalf of the state. And right now we're in the position where, after 3.5 months of protest, we have had no serious governmental, national recognition of the movement or of what we're trying to achieve here. The councils, as far as I'm concerned, have been a diversionary tactic, because the longer that we're seen as being in opposition to the council, the longer that they can go on without recognising that this is national legislative change that is required, and that it can't be achieved by the council.
Well, I seem to take it a bit further and say that it's actually international legislation that needs to change because, after all, it's not just the scumbaggery here at home that Occupy stands against. It's a lot to do with international corporations taking over the country.
The corporatisation of government, local and foreign. I mean, that's what we're seeing here now at a local level with the council. The council is essentially a corporate board. You've got it run by someone on $750,000 a year who has 30 years' experience in the corporate world. They're setting up the CCOs and the corporate arms of the council. For example, when we wanted to access power and water in Aotea, we were told that we had to fill out this ridiculously long form, and we had to go through all of this red tape, and at any stage it could be denied to us. And I actually had an off-the-record conversation myself with a council member who I won't name, but I was saying to him, you know, these things are human rights. These, prior to there ever being councils or national governance, people had the ability to go to the stream and get their water. People had the ability to create sources of their own power. So how is it that when we are protesting when under the Bill of Rights and under, you know, our core values, how is it that we cannot access power and water without going through a corporate channel? And he said to me, oh, well, user pays. And I said, well, we're happy to pay for it, but that's not the purpose. We just don't feel that we should need dictated to us by this corporate arm whether or not we can access what essentially comes down to being human rights.
Human rights are not something that you can gain easily, but certainly they can be taken away quite quickly, especially if nobody resists. What's happening now, I feel, and I think Rainbow Whitty kind of said this best, is that Occupy represents sort of the immune system of the planet, okay? Criminal banksters, I see them as more or less just a form of viral weaponry being injected into the financial veins of this world, and they've begun to try and destroy every single healthy red blood cell that exists. Occupy the white blood cells attacking back and defending the body from this menace. Do you agree with that analogy?
I do think that's a good analogy. I think someone else described it as a happy virus. Occupy is a happy virus. It spreads like a virus, but it brings happiness.
Just hook it to my veins.
For me, it's a bit more for me, it's a bit more black or white. I mean, people say to me all the time, what is your one demand? And I say, well, what is the one demand of any time that people come together in public protest against the government? The demand is the overthrow of the corrupt. It is the removal of the corrupt. And that is precisely what Occupy is about. We're trying to say, hey, there is corruption. We know there's corruption. We have info from here to Africa to show that there is corruption. So please recognize it and please stand with us so that we can do something about it, because merely ignoring it and continuing on is just not an option.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was Ayn Rand who famously said, you can ignore reality, but you can't ignore the consequences of ignoring reality.
And that's exactly where we find ourselves now, because we're at irreparable damage stage. And I just hope to see the day in New Zealand where we hit critical mass of people in the way that has happened overseas. And I think then that is the day that we'll begin to have real change in this country.
I think that's a good place to leave it, Susie. And by the way, we have just received a word from Karen Tostada, who runs this monthly broadcast on UnitedWeStrike.com that goes out internationally, that they'd like you to be popping in on a monthly basis just to give a quick little report and updates, as you've done here, if you'd be willing.
Oh, excellent. Thank you. Someone from the media team certainly will. We run a non-hierarchical structure and we rotate through the positions. But there are plenty of awesome people that have awesome things to say on our media team, and definitely one of us would love to speak with you whenever you're able.
Okay, cool. Well, just send that information through to me, to my Facebook, and then we will get all the contacts and necessary organisation done.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you for your support.
Susie. You're very welcome.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Occupy is an international movement, and we've just heard from the Kiwi media team, known only as Susie. You can check her out on Facebook. It's Susie, O-W-S-D-A-W-S-O-N, and that should be sufficient for you all there.